You're listening to 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live from Monday Night Garage in the West End. A very happy Friday to you. It is absolutely gorgeous outside, sunny, 57 degrees. I invite you to come down here and join me. We're right near the Atlanta University Center and the Atlanta Beltline Trail. We've got a great crowd enjoying their Friday afternoon, getting the weekend started. The address is 933 Lee Street. So the work week is winding down. The weekend is here. You may know this brewery by their logo. It's a black and white silhouette of a man in a business suit. Well, in fact, men's ties is a theme with this brewery. All of their taps are actually shaped like ties. The reason that we are here at one of Atlanta's craft breweries is because today's All Things Considered explores Georgia's history and relationship with alcohol. For the next couple of hours, we're going to be taking a step back to think about why we drink, how we drink, when we drink, and of course, what we drink. We've got great stories coming up starting at 5:35. The head brewer of Monday Night Brewing explains the science behind making beer. And Kennesaw State University students describe what it's like to go to college in recovery.
Being sober and in college, for the most part, has been great. It's not what I expected. And when I first came back to school, I felt like a fish out of water.
We'll also talk to students at the University of Georgia about why they simply opt out of the college party scene. There might be 200 or 300 folks here, including dogs, babies, toddlers, enjoying the start of their weekend, and we invite you to come on down. The address is 933 Lee Street, right near the Atlanta Beltline West Side Trail. You can join us, and again, this place is kid and pet friendly. I just took a selfie with a dog. I couldn't resist. Right now, we're going to turn to young people. Teenagers drink about 11% of the alcohol consumed in the United States. That's according to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Some of them are in college. GPB intern Isabeth Mendoza reports.
The Athens-Clarke County area is home to the University of Georgia, where about 37,000 students go to school. It's also home to the highest percentage of excessive drinkers in the state, about 1 in 6 adults. According to the CDC, that means binge drinking 4 or 5 drinks at once. Heavy drinkers have at least 8 drinks a week for women and 15 for men. Nationally, about 60% of college students say they drink alcohol at least once a month. For GPB News, I'm Isabeth Mendoza.
American college students are definitely stereotyped in movies and pop culture as being out of control partiers. Well, in fact, more and more young people are abstaining from drugs and alcohol in college, and addiction service centers on campus are commonplace. At Kennesaw State University, the Center for Young Adult Addiction Recovery helps students navigate college life while recovering from drug and alcohol abuse. Kyra, Gabriel, Morgan, James, and Harrison share their struggles and successes with sobriety in college. We're not revealing their last names because several asked to use first names only, and we simply made the choice to do that for all of the students that we've interviewed.
I've been sober for a little over 3 years. So in the beginning, when I first got to college, I thought that it was going to be totally different. I thought there was going to be a lot more peer pressure of like using and drinking, because it's like that's the normal culture, right? Everybody goes to college and they just leave their parents and it's like, I'm finally out. People don't really care. Majority of people in college are not even doing the things that we think they're doing. So I go into freshman seminars and go teach freshmen about drugs and alcohol. And we do this like research and this survey of how much do you actually drink and how much do you think your peers are drinking. And it's like, it's a significant difference. Most college students drink maybe 1 drink a week, if, and that's just 1 drink.
I have been sober for a little over 3 years. Being sober and in college, for the most part, has been great. It's not what I expected, and when I first came back to school, I felt like a fish out of water. I felt so different and like, oh God, like I'm not going to fit in. I'm not going to be able to make friends. You know, everyone probably drinks. That's the idea I had in my head, and that's kind of been smashed. For the most part, people don't care. You know, it's not something that comes up in conversation. And when it finally does, like, you know, it's just not an issue.
Thank you.
When I first got sober, I was 6 months from graduating high school. So when I came to college, I came with my using friends from high school. Like they weren't really like convinced that I was gonna stay sober. And so we all ended up coming to Kennesaw together. And that was probably the most difficult for me because they held me to an expectation of who I used to be. That was really the only group of people that I felt like quote unquote shunned from. But outside of that, I never really felt like somebody was judging me for not drinking or not using. I didn't have somebody like try and peer pressure me into drinking when I said, no, I'm not drinking. It was primarily just that group.
I've been sober for a little over a year and a half. It's become a lot more available to meet people that are sober that are going to college. You know, you really become aware of how abnormal your drinking is when you start to meet people in college who don't drink or use like that. I've met several people in, you know, being at this university that they never drank, they never used. They're completely abstinent and they're completely happy, which was a shock to me because I thought that, you know, my lifestyle and the lifestyle of the other people around was the only normal one. It was the only thing that made any sense. And, you know, I saw other people that were going to school and were completely sober. I saw it as just absolutely bizarre to me.
I got sober in May of 2016. I went to my first like concert sober before all the people that I was around kind of knew that I was trying to clean myself up. And a guy that I used to be really good friends with, he just said like, oh, why don't you just moderate? And I was like, man, you don't think that I thought that? So there's not really ever any pushback. Most of the time it is a 3 second long conversation. Most of the time it's some guy trying to pour like just wine in a glass at dinner when I'm like out with my girlfriend and I just say no thank you and that's it. Life gets so much better and you can end up being so much happier than you've ever had any experience with if you just do it honestly.
Those are the voices of Kira, Gabriel, Morgan, James, and Harrison. They're part of the Collegiate Recovery Community at Kennesaw State University. You can hear more of their stories on our website, gpb.org/alcohol. That story was produced by GPB's Stephen Fowler and Tyler Morris. I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live on a beautiful Friday from Monday Night Garage. You're welcome to come out down and join us. This is a tasting room. I'd say there's about 300 people here. Also, pets and babies. So it's a family-friendly atmosphere. We're going to be here for the next about hour and a half, and we'd love to meet you. 933 Lee Street. So KSU is not the only school with a growing student population that opts out of the party scene in college. Walk around the University of Georgia campus today, and you're going to find plenty of students who don't drink or do drugs. As of 2 years ago, UGA no longer was among the top 20 best party schools ranked by the Princeton Review. I love that Princeton Review even ranks those. But I sat down with UGA students Chelsea, Miranda, Jake, Tyler, and Michaela, and we let them ask each other questions about what college is like when you don't drink.
I'm Chelsea. What are the benefits of being a college student who doesn't drink or do drugs?
This is Michaela. I think that a lot of people that do drink and or do drugs, they tend to not be able to remember those like experiences that they've had. So as someone that like doesn't drink, it's very nice when I'm hanging out with my friends, I know that I'll be able to remember like everything that's happening tomorrow. And so then it's just nice because that's how you're building like your relationship with people, is that you have shared memories. And so in order to like have those shared memories, you have to like remember exactly like the nuances of the different conversations that you have with people.
It's Jake. I would say one of the huge benefits for me is I have some friends that will partake and they'll go out and then the next day they'll wake up and they'll be super hungover and they'll be trying to study or go to the library or get work done. And it's just impossible. But for me, I'll go out, have fun, and then wake up the next morning feeling great and able to be very productive. So,
this is Tyler. What are the challenges to being a college student who doesn't drink or do drugs? Yes, Miranda.
I think there's kind of a stigma around people who don't drink or do drugs, saying that we don't like to have fun at all. They think that we're in our dorms all the time. We don't go out. And personally, I don't drink or do drugs, but I still like to go out and have fun. I've walked downtown before. I've gone to parties. I just don't choose to partake in that stuff. I just think that people think that we're boring, and that's the quite the opposite.
This is Mikhail. I just wanted to play off what Miranda was saying, too, is that especially through, like, the University of Georgia, they have so many different activities that you can do that don't involve drinking. Like, they've got so many different, like, intramural sports. Sometimes I'll just go look on the master calendar, and they've got, like, all these different events you can go to. University Union puts on a lot of stuff. So it's not even that hard to, like, find a place where there's not drinking, because there's, like, there's so many different activities we can do that don't involve, like, drinking. You're not really boring because there's lots of things to do.
I can totally agree with that. I think it's all about what you make it. Since I've stopped drinking and doing drugs, like, I've actually been able to enjoy life and college for the first time. So it's, you know, if I want to keep the perspective of, oh, I'm boring, or, oh, I can't do this or that, then, you know, that's just, it's kind of just ridiculous, because it is all about what you make it and who you surround yourself with.
I'm definitely guilty of having that mindset that Miranda was talking about. I thought if I were to stop drinking and doing drugs, the fun would be over. The truth was, I wasn't having much fun for the past couple of years doing what I was doing.
Can you describe a situation in which it became an obstacle or you became uncomfortable?
Last year, I had a friend. So it was a Saturday night, and, like, I hadn't hung out with people or whatever up until, like, maybe one or two, and then I'd gone to bed. But a lot of people were still out drinking and doing whatever. And I just get this, like, super loud knock bang on my door. My friend screaming in the door, like, one of my friends is pretty drunk and almost passed out at Pita Pit. And the manager of Pita Pit had actually taken my friend's phone, and because he had been texting someone or whatever, and, like, texted that person, like, I just called the police, you should pick up your friend before the police come. And my friends had knocked on my door because they knew that I was the only one who had not drank. And I quickly got in my car and we went to go help him. What advice would you give a young person who feels peer pressured to drink or use drugs in school?
I mean, if it's definitely not something that you want to do, or it's not something that you're into, it's easy to say, oh, just don't do it. But don't, you know, like, just hold your own as a person, and you won't regret that later.
What misperceptions do people have about partying at the University of Georgia?
I don't know. I think I probably have some of the misperceptions of it. The other week I saw a study that showed that less than 30% of students have been drinking in the past month. So either I have a misperception or the study people have a misperception. So I'm not sure. I mean, well, my perception is that it's very common, at least some drinking once a week.
I think that UGA is definitely growing out of its party school reputation, because one thing that surprised me, like, whenever I, when I meet new people, I'm like, and they might be from out of state or from different countries, and I always ask them, well, why do you choose Georgia? And they'll tell me about, like, oh, the accounting program is great, this program's great, and no one's ever told me, oh, because it's a great party school. So I think we're, like, slowly getting out of the party school reputation, because people are coming here for academics and or, like, sports or things like that. And another thing I just want to say, I think, like, if you want to look for the party scene, you're going to find it. There is a party scene. I think it'd be dumb for us to say, like, there's not a party scene at UGA. There is, but if you don't go looking for it, you don't have to be involved with it. We have 700 organizations on campus, and each of them are, like, I mean, if you can't find one of 700, there's just so many different opportunities.
That was University of Georgia's Chelsea, Miranda, Jake, Tyler, and Michaela talking about their alcohol-free college experience. Who in this room went to the University of Georgia? Let's hear it. You can sort of pick it up on my mic, not that great. I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live from Monday Night Garage. And it is always a pleasure to have you listening to Atlanta's NPR News Station, especially during a special broadcast about Georgia's alcohol culture and laws. I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live on a gorgeous Friday from Monday Night Garage. There's a couple of hundred people here, with some with their dogs, some with their kids. It's a great atmosphere, and you're welcome to come on down and join us at 933 Lee Street. And you'll be able to watch public radio happen live before your eyes. Joining me now is Peter Kiley. He is the head brewer at Monday Night Garage here, and he's going to be doing a little bit of a taste test for us. This man used to do wine, and now he's a beer guy.
That is true.
Welcome to the show, Peter. So what's the hardest thing about brewing beer?
The hardest thing about brewing beer is Having to grow a beard.
No. Peter Kiley here is actually very bearded.
I would say the hardest part about brewing beer is that it has to be consistent. Unlike wine, where it's a vintage, and you try to make it as good as you made it the best year you made it. Beer has to be high quality, but it also has to be the same every time. Just so that way the consumer knows what they're getting and it's worth their money and we don't get nasty emails.
That's a really good point. Like, over decades, if you're a ex-beer drinker, you expect the same taste every single time.
Absolutely.
I never thought about it that way. I also understand that bacteria and keeping things clean is a really important aspect of anybody who's brewed beer at home knows this.
Yes.
So how hard is that? Is that like 90% of the beer business?
That's a very good number. So we joke in beer that being a brewer, really you're just throwing flowers into sugar water. But before that, you are a professional janitor. So it's about 90% cleaning, 9% usage, 1% drinking. So that's how we work on a day-to-day basis, but requires being a clean freak in order to make, whether it's a home brew or 10,000 bottles worth of beer per batch.
So I'm going to ask you about home brewing for anybody in our audience who likes to do this at home. I know nothing about beer. Before I ask you about home brewing, you have brought three beers here, and we're going to do a little kind of chemistry lesson, and Peter here is going to explain how you make a beer taste the way it tastes. So again, disclaimer, I know absolutely nothing about beer. I don't even know how to talk about it. So we've got this first beer here, and I'm not going to sample it because I'm working right now.
Me too.
But I'll let you go ahead and tell us what it is and how you make it taste the way it tastes.
Well, so this first beer I'm holding is a dark beer called Drafty Kilt. Drafty Kilt is a Scottish ale. So when you think of beer, there are many different subcategories and categories. So you're making a beer to style. So a Scotch ale is supposed to be roasty. It's supposed to have hints of a little bit of chocolate on there, a little bit of herbaceousness from, you know, pretty noble hops. It's really, when I think of, it's kind of like the Guinness of the South we joke about.
Oh, I like that.
You know, it's a Drafty Kilt is, you look at a dark beer and you're like, ooh, I don't like dark beer. This is that beer that goes against that. It's a little more light on the body, but it has all the decadence of a good stout.
Wow. So, okay, so that's your dark beer.
Yes.
So this one looks a little bit lighter. We're going from dark to light with this demo here. So what's this one in the middle?
This next one is a special beer called Hello Beautiful. So here at the garage, at the other facility, we call it Traybert. That's the road that it's located on.
Okay.
But the original facility is where we do all of our core production. And down at the garage, we do all of our barrel age and specialty beer. So the beers out of here are usually about a minimum of a year in barrel, sometimes 3 to 4 years. We haven't achieved that yet, but my CFO currently hates me because ROI is just not three letters we use. But this first beer is a Saison that has been fermented with blueberries in a Sauvignon Blanc barrel. So the color of it, if you could see it, is this really deep ruby red. When you drink it, I recommend you trying
it, by
the way.
It's gorgeous. It's really pretty.
It's, to me, it was built around a wine. Because when you think blueberries, you think sweet. But this has got a little more of a earthy, tannic structure to it. It's got thyme, which is a flavor you could never fake. And when I drink it, it's a beer that is supposed to challenge the palate. When you think you're having a beer, but it tastes like you're having a Cabernet Sauvignon, it's confusing, but that's good.
Wait, we're like mixing metaphors here. We've got beer.
Oh, yes.
We've got wine, and we have blueberries. Does this taste like blueberries?
No. That's the funniest part about it.
But there's blueberries in it.
Correct. And so it's really, with beer, it's, you know, a lot of great breweries will put their recipes out there. Because it's not really about the recipe. It's about your methodology. It's about how you do it. How you do it is what separates you from the next brewery. How your team conducts themselves is what separates you from the other brewery. At Monday Night Brewing, we have, hands down, in my opinion, which of course is biased, we have the best team. My brewers out there are just amazing people, and happy people make happy beer, so it's always good to have that. And, you know, the beers out of here are supposed to be different. They're supposed to be weird, but at the end of the day, they're supposed to be engaging, because right now, that's what the consumer wants. Someone that's making beers they haven't tried before.
You must have some really sophisticated consumers who really know their beer.
I like to believe that George is getting more and more sophisticated. I think it's all about exposure. You know, how often are they being exposed to elevated liquids, and how often are they exposing themselves to, you know, the next bar that has the good beer or this and that. I mean, it's becoming, if you look around, it's much more of a beer-centric community than it was even a year ago.
Well, you mentioned your team and what a great team of brewers you have here. And I don't know if anybody else has ever thought about this if you work in a brewery, but how do you keep from getting drunk all day?
Just like any job, it's fear of losing it.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, I remember my first restaurant job. I was like, I'm going to be able to eat every day for free. This is great. And the reality is that not only is it a very dangerous work environment, it's an industrial production facility. And, you know, drinking every day doesn't do good for anyone, and especially with here at the brewery. It's something that we don't really have a problem with. I think we enjoy making it more than we enjoy drinking it, but on a Saturday, Sunday, I firmly do not believe in weekends being overrated. Same with my team. But, you know, when it comes time for it, it's just about being responsible.
And just the joke, so people who don't know, the tagline of Monday Night Brewing is weekends are overrated.
That is correct.
So that's a great job. So we've got our final beer here, which is half drunk, I see. I don't
yes,
know what
it's
little,
a very good one. I couldn't help
what
myself.
What little gnome drank half of this beer. This is really light.
Yes, so this is one of our best-selling beers. It is called Blood Orange Blind Pirate. So Blind Pirate started as a big old double IPA we had in the beginning. And then we decided to put blood orange juice from Italy into it.
And because, we made, of course, you'd
of
add
course,
blood
right?
orange juice to a beer.
But that was something that we did for about 3 months, and then we took a year off because we had to figure out how to source Italian blood orange juice. It's not something you get in your backyard. So now it's an IPA. It's citrusy. It's floral. It's got a little bit of sweetness from the malt, but then it has that little hint of blood orange juice that really just kind of changes what people think when they say, oh, I don't like IPAs, because they're hoppy. They're bitter. And guess what? This one tastes like orange juice.
So we got blueberries, orange juice, and a drafty kilt. I love it. Peter Kiley, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Peter Kiley is head brewer at Monday Night Garage. Have you ever tried home brewing beer or wine? I didn't get a chance to ask Peter about it. We would love to hear your tips, your tricks, and we'd love to see your pictures and see how it turned out. You can join the conversation about homebrew at GPB News on Twitter and Facebook.